Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Sean, will you give us a pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on a beautiful night where we all wish we were outside, so we'll be fast, right? The consent agenda is before you, which includes the approval of the agenda tonight, the approval of the minutes for May 24, and the next meeting for July 26. I would accept a motion for the consent agenda. Moved in a second?
Second.
Thanks, Bob. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed to that? Not, we're carrying it. Are there any public comments tonight? I do not see or hear any. Cecilia, would you give us a report on the barbecue, the CBTD employee barbecue?
It was excellent. And thanks to all of you who came and cooked and visited. And I think this is one of the best decisions that we have made because I feel like it is becoming a cohesive group between the board and these amazing employees. It was just delightful, and I lost count of the number of people that came up and said thank you, but it's us that, you know, needed to thank them. They are a remarkable group of people, and it was fun visiting with them and hearing their stories and seeing how they love their jobs. So thank you so much to all of you and for all the staff. I know Charisse helped a lot in arranging things, and Jillian, and you know the rest.
Carrie, Jody, all that jazz.
And Todd grilled a lot of burgers himself, and I think that was awesome. And Curtis was there the whole time. Jody, it was great to see all of you, and we just thank you. And again, we thank the staff because it was a delicious meal. It was, the meat was wonderful. All the sides were kept cold or hot as they needed to be, and it was a delightful day. So thanks to all of you.
Thank you. That's awesome. Okay, we are down to board business. Number 5A is a consideration of request for service in Amalga. If you remember, not in May, but in April, the Lindahl Camp family came and presented a request to extend a bus stop service closer to their home for their handicapped son. There are a couple of issues there. One is just the process of moving a bus stop and making special accommodations, which we're all in favor of. The second problem is they live outside of the CBTD district. They don't even live in the district. So I'm presenting before you a motion to deny service. So if you vote aye, you are voting to deny that modification. If you vote nay, you're voting against the recommendation to deny service. So I would accept a motion to deny this modification.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Does that mean that because it's out of the service, they can't get the call ride?
Call ride.
So technically, it will not come to their home, but we have provided a reasonable accommodation that within the boundaries of the district, there's a safe location which we can meet them, and then they can access the bus. And then the individual is fully approved to use the system.
I just can't pick them up at their front door.
Paul James, I move that we approve the denial.
Oh, wow. The motion is to deny service. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a second from Bob. All in favor of denying the request, say aye.
Aye.
Is there any that oppose denying the modification to service? There is not. It's unanimous. I communicated this to the Lundahls. I mean, it's a pretty big deal to modify the entire district to accommodate this, so I explained that to them personally. Thank you. That was confusing. Appreciate the first and the second there.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were all, our hearts were all with them. But expanding that would have just exploded. There's no way.
I think it's great that we failed to set a precedent, but still
had compassion.
showed compassion and made the accommodation. So you're not setting a precedent for somebody else to come in and take advantage, so to speak, of what you do. Explaining to them the background.
Thank you, Mary. Let's have a presentation of fiscal year 2023 first quarter financials by Glenn Schmidt.
Okay, there's not a whole lot to talk about because it's the first quarter, so you don't get much results there. But we met with Curtis and Todd and went over through this as a committee. And as Curtis was going through, he's pointed out a couple of things that you've probably read here in the report here, so I won't really go through that. We did, we received a couple of the buses, isn't that right? And others, so you'll see that in the, in the bus purchases here. And later on in the year, we may receive a couple more buses before the end of the year, is that right, or?
We've got six replacement Gilly buses, so large buses.
Right.
And there was a significant discount, like multiple tens of thousands of dollars, if we'll take delivery before the end of the year. So we weren't planning on that, but if they want to shower us with money, we're going to jump at the opportunity. So we'll, there's a real possibility. We're finalizing getting on Gilly's production schedule. But we'll probably take delivery of those buses before the end of the year and need to do a budget amendment.
Yeah. So we're hoping that that happens. So that's a good budget amendment because there will be a significant savings. So we're good there. Fuel, of course, Curtis keeps monitoring that. So hopefully things will continue on. Sales tax, he's surprised at how much has come in thus far, but it's on the plus side, and so hopefully that will continue there. And that's about all I have to report. Are there any questions?
I think the interest income too has really jumped.
Yeah, the interest income has jumped. PTIF, they were paying less than 1% previously, but now they've gone up to around 5% or so. So that's been a good thing as well. So hopefully that will keep up as well.
Any other questions for financial team? Thank you for jumping on the spot there. That's great to have good details on that. Okay, absent Dave Geary tonight, we're gonna have Curtis give us an update on the facility, please.
Awesome, so I'm gonna put a couple pictures here. One of the nice things Big D is doing for us is they're periodically setting up a drone. You actually have to have a special permit to fly these, especially commercially. So Big D is doing this, and so I just want to point out a couple things if you're interested. So this is from a few weeks ago. This is viewing, obviously, from the east to the west. Big D's established their construction trailer over here in the northeast corner. This area right here that you can see outlined, that's our fuel building. Remember that fuel building is going to be detached from the main areas. And then we're working from the north to the south, digging footings. As we've reported, they ran into groundwater. Thankfully, it's diminishing. They're out there. It's going down. It's still there, but it's going way down. But up here, this will be where the bus bypass lane is, the bus wash. We bus parking and bus parking. They've actually gone through now and got into footings down into the last part of bus parking, and then the maintenance area will be here, and the administration operations area will be down over here. But you can see it's coming along. Main connection with the water line has been established. Sewer line is also established, so that we're ready to bring those key utilities in. Our last, and this is a cash valley electric trailer. They'll actually be, they're actually working on establishing major box they'll be coming in with Rocky Mountain Power. Hopefully that'll be done in this a month and a half or so. We'll get power on site. Let's pop around to the picture. So this is looking north to south. So just orienting. Once again, this is the field building over here. Oh, sorry. This gives you kind of a, they had to over excavate a lot where the water was. And I want to emphasize this one. So when we did the geotech report, water's about between about right around 9 feet down below ground. But that was in the dry year. When they dug, they hit water right around 5 feet. So they, what they have to do in order to protect our interests is we've consulted with the geotechnical engineers, we've been going through this. They over-excavate where the footing's gonna be, go down, put in solid material, well, they put in a water casing type material, this green fabric, layered up with compactable material, folded over, literally described as burrito style, and then cover that up, and it compacts down and will be a nice solid base for us going forward. So in last month we reported that they were doing this, but this will give you a good picture of how they do it and how much they have to over excavate. Now we are running into costs. So far we're running right around $320,000 into our contingency. Our contingency was 2.9, so we're okay. And we're really finding it's the underground stuff where we're hoping to find most of the problems. After, once they get up on ground, we should, everything should be known. So that kind of gives you an oversight of the project. Questions that I can answer?
Good job.
Chris, is there, what kind of a delay is it as far as the projected completion? Or is it a wait?
Yeah, this is where it's great working with a team like Big D, because they've got multiple resources, and so they've been looking at their calendar and they're timing out when, where they can make that time. So right now, they have not projected out a delay.
Great delay, good.
So they think that they can bring in crews to make up time. And the teams that we've got are big enough to come in and make up time. So right now, they're telling us we don't have a delay. They're still scheduled for December 24th.
Wonderful.
I just, I've forgotten what that building that's separate by the road.
This one here?
Yeah, what was that again?
So that's the fuel building. So buses, when the service workers come out, they'll pull through the service building, mm-hmm. clean the bus, fuel the bus over, take it back through the bus wash and then park it for the night. Yeah, great question.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, consider you guys updated then.
Thank you. Thanks, Curtis. That's great. Okay, we are headed on to the consideration of board structure. So in your packet, you've got a memo that memorializes the, we had a great conversation in the May meeting, and I thought we made a lot of progress. And the first part of this discussion is just structure, just what cities are represented how. So before you in that memo is the structure as we recall it and as the recording stated it from the conversation. So there'd be four representatives from Logan. There'd be one representative from North Logan Hyde Park. There'd be one representative for Smithfield and Richmond, one for Providence, Millville, one for Cache County and River Heights, and one representative for Nibley Hiram, which would be Area 6. So that makes up 9 members to the future board. To keep it an objective discussion, let's just focus on the structure for now. And then the second part of this will be, we can talk about everything else, but I want to make sure everybody has enough time to express themselves, ask questions, examine this. My hope is we can leave tonight with an agreement by vote of how the structure should be, just the structure alone. So open it up to any conversation you would like to have at this point. Yes?
I have a question, so I just ruminated on it for a day or so now. I haven't had it for a long time. For the Area 5 with the county and River Heights, I wonder if there might be a challenge where the county always chooses someone from River Iceberg to the county. And so my question is, would it make more sense to move River Heights together with Providence and Millville where they share the loop? Pool?
It's pool, yeah.
Yeah, pool, and then the county could draw from anyone north or south whenever they feel they wish to do so.
I have another suggestion. We're working really closely with Millville right now with the sewer. We've created a small sewer district, so our mayors are having to work quite closely together. I think it might be a good move to move Millville and Hiram together, and Nibley and Providence and River Heights if you did that. But I really think that would be beneficial because those two mayors are going to be closely working together all the time because we have our wastewater treatment plant together. We also do their emergency services, which we also do Nibley's, but I think to get these.
You also do Nibley's because I thought Logan City did Nibley.
Fire, excuse me, thank you, sorry. But all of their services basically, excepting their culinary water, would be tied in with Hiram. I think it would be a good move.
I see.
For that, just for the simple fact, the mayors are going to be communicating all the time. And to make a recommendation from Millville and Hiram, it would be a very simple thing.
Yeah, I think this is great to kind of fine tune this. We were presenting what was discussed last time, so. Other thoughts, input?
So, just as a reminder, River Heights is part of the county. So we would be representing the county as well, but I understand River Heights is very small. The county's a lot bigger, and it would seem like maybe it would be more prevalent to get somebody from the county because they're bigger. And I don't think that we can add that much as long as the person that's representing remains open and available to any comments that would come from either entity.
Well, I also had a good conversation with Todd yesterday, and I think it would be a good, and I'm an elected official, but I think it would be good when we first started the board, the CBTD board, there was no elected official. Elected officials couldn't serve on it. That way it kind of keeps it out of the political realm. And I think it would be a good part of the bylaws to be able to just make it a citizen.
Okay.
An appointed citizen from the community mayors and councils themselves. And I think it would keep a lot of the political stuff out of it. And just like what they're saying is the River Heights and the county, if it was that, you would, I mean, if it was today,
yeah.
David Zook would get with the Richmond or the River Heights mayor and make that decision mm-hmm. on who to do it. And I mm-hmm. think it would be a really good, and it would have to be passed by the Cache County Council and the River Heights City Council, mm-hmm. that person. So I don't know that you'd always get that same person in there, but I just think it would be good not to have, elected officials have plenty to do. I can sit on every board that comes out there, and it seems like that's where I am.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a really good move to be able to just say, in the bylaws, if you have an appointed citizen.
Jeannie is not here. I had a long conversation with her last night about this topic, and she expressed similar concerns. She said, she suggested, just to kind of keep it copacetic here, is she suggested there be a limit on it. I don't mind having, because you really want it to be a community organization, because transportation is the entire community. And we don't want it shifted one side or another based on specific interests. So I like what you're saying here, Paul.
Yeah, I think it would make it more on the needs uh-huh. rather than uh-huh. The pride.
Uh-huh. Okay. I appreciate you saying that. Greg, agree?
The reality is, well, even though we may represent our cities now, we're a cohesive group. Uh-huh. We don't not vote on something if it doesn't impact our city really well, because we're looking for something that's best for the transit district for Cache Valley.
County.
So I think that in a way, moving away, there's not a lot of politics here. You know, when we have our meetings, there's not groups banding together and saying, no, we have to do this. And I'm also in favor of what Paul said. I've thought about that for a long time.
But you probably wouldn't have that problem with, but if you had four Logan City Councilmen,
that could be a problem.
You may have an issue. And so I just think it would be good.
Terry, as
on the original. Go ahead.
I would tend to agree with that, especially a scenario with four city council from the same city, is that that constitutes a public meeting in the state's eyes.
And
so they would be held to a different standard than what the rest of the board is. You know, we have hits and misses in our smaller communities as far as getting volunteers that are willing to serve on a board, even when there is a stipend paid on it. But that said, we just had an opening for our P&Z. We had six applicants, and one of them said he'd like to take over the CBTD. So I said, cool. So I think the, you know, it
like
comes
Todd's
and goes.
Like Todd's job?
And so.
Is that what he's talking about?
So, you know, I can see it either way. The one side is, if you have a board of elected officials, then you have some control over the taxes, but where this is sales tax, mm-hmm. and you vote on it, you know, the citizens vote on it in a separate election and stuff like that, then that's different than property tax.
Okay,
so you have a board that's just appointed and no one's elected to it.
Let's just take this apart one issue at a time, because I don't want it to get too swampy in the conversation. So let's back up and just talk about elected officials. Does anybody have any concerns about the initial board being just the appointed public individuals, not elected officers? So we're okay with that, with the group that's here. Okay. Okay, moving up the list. Millville and Hiram, do we have any concern about making that a contiguous group?
No, with, I thought that was
I really like what you said regarding
put the three of them together. Technically, can't Cache County rep be from the city as well?
Yes.
So it really could come. So I like the idea of having the Cache County rep stand alone, because the Cache County rep could be a Logan City rep, could be a North End, could be a South End, depending upon what the county council decides for that.
But do you have a problem with Millville and Hiram being together?
No.
Does anybody have a problem with that?
Well, she said that they were going to add.
But we'll get to that one
River
next.
River Heights to that. So
right, we'll come back to River Heights in a second. So any concerns with Millville? I didn't know about that, and the fact that they're working together on a project makes it a good foray.
Yeah.
Into
drive out to Hiram right now, and you'll find out that the sewer is being put in.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Nibley sits between them. Is that going to be an issue?
But Nibley's contingent with Providence also.
Right. So I can't go down that whole road and separate Byron from Millville, or is that going to be an issue?
What's that now?
Would that be an issue with Nibley being between the two? Because doesn't Nibley go down the whole road all the way to the canyon, or is there some border?
But the CDTD doesn't run down the Hollow Road, but that's, I don't see it an issue. I really don't.
Okay.
Especially, you'd keep it out politically.
Might this be framed as Hiram, Millville, Providence, River Heights, and then you've got to choose one of those two?
But I think that would be a good move.
Okay. So as a fourth generation River Heights resident, Mary, what do you think, right? I am a fourth generation River Heights, but Mary, what do you think is the best way to represent River Heights? Should we do a part of the county? Should we do a part of province?
I would think that River Heights and Providence are together a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing Providence and Nibley and River Heights. Thoughts?
One person for those three.
Where does Nibley go for a library?
They buy.
They
buy.
See, and anybody's available. Wellsville goes to Hiram. Paradise goes to Hiram. Millville bills higher. I mean, they're all, it's available to us.
Well, there's the Cache County Library in Providence that I know Millville has. I was just curious if there was a connection.
There's another option. You could put Providence and River Heights together, and you could put Nibley in the county.
I like the county standing alone.
I do too.
The county stands alone. Where does Nibley feel better? Do you feel like you're better with Millville and Hiram or River Heights and Providence?
I don't think it matters. I really don't, because I'm not worried about the politics, nor do I think is the mayor going to be worried about the politics.
Right.
It's loosely based on how the county sets things up.
Right. So that's what I would propose, is that we combine Nibley, River Heights, and Providence.
That's what
is that okay?
That would be good.
Geographically, I think that works well.
Like, you know, longtime residents of River Heights, mm-hmm. River Heights and Providence are close cousins.
Already. Yep.
Right, Jeff? Say yes. Okay, so I feel like we've addressed River Heights, Millville, elected officials. What else do you see on this?
I think it's the best of what we can do. I mean, other than having a representative like we do right now, which is unrealistic and we can't do it.
Right.
I think this is very well represented.
The other option is, even though we only have the one appointed representative to the board, all of our other communities can participate by dialing in or coming to the meetings, because
exactly.
It's public.
Exactly. Well said.
And so, I mean, that's what our mayor, when I was discussing all this with him in the last couple of weeks, he just said, well, you know, Alan could come down and sit in if he's not the one chosen for our little section.
Every time.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think we need to get that message out as well, is that there is a place to participate, even if you aren't an appointed director.
Right, okay, very good.
Good thought.
Okay, so I'm gonna restate this. So as I have my notes, I show 4 from Logan, Area 1. I show 1 from North Logan, Hyde Park, which is Area 2. 1 from Smithfield, Richmond, Lewiston, which is Area 3. 1 from Providence, Nibley, River Heights, which is Area 4. 1 from Cache County, 1 from Millville, Hiram. Did I read that wrong? I would accept a motion.
I move that we accept those.
I second those.
Assignments.
Cecilia seconded it. Seconded?
Yes.
Seconded. All in favor for the board structure as constituted, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is unanimous. We write that down. It was unanimous. Holy moly. Look, can we just adjourn now? No, I feel like I gave birth to a child there.
And I also realized I couldn't move over today.
Do you want to have a discussion on anything else regarding the board structure? How about, do you want to have a brainstorming about where we go from here?
I think you probably want to go through the straw method to be able to choose, to be able to reappoint the board members in 2 years and then 4 years. So then
should we have a limitation? Term. Let's talk about that for a minute. Should we have term limits on this board? Because the small districts at the state code remove that. Why? Because it's an administrative nightmare trying to reappoint people or get new people to come, as Terry articulated very well. There is a natural selection that occurs. People kind of get worn out, and because it's heavy lifting, especially, I should note, going forward, it is going to be heavy lifting. So I think that, you know, we'll wear the tires out and new people will want to come on.
I still think that it would be good to have some sort of a I don't know, if I don't care about the term limits,
yeah.
But you should have the reappointments every 4 years, which
but it's
is
not done
simple.
By the cities.
Yeah, that would be.
Is it something?
No, it's not.
It is, yeah, too.
It has been.
Yeah,
it has to be all been approved by the
CS. Your councils are the ones
that we do not have any legislative authority.
Yeah, right. So anyway, every 4 years it'll come up on the agenda, or the first 2 years, and then the 4 years,
mm-hmm. okay.
would come up on the agenda to reappoint or appoint another person into this. And it would be between the two mayors. Mayors change, you know, yeah. people's minds change. I think it would be a good situation, plus, especially where you have more than one community representative. And so Providence, Millville, and Nibley could get together and say this would be the person that we ought to do.
Do you mind if I have our attorney look at that? Because I need to know what the state code says.
Yeah,
but I think it's a fine idea, especially if it's just,
I just
an
think,
administrative.
I don't
but the
think
4-year term is pretty much entrenched
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think a term limit would be necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, serve for the next 32 years.
But having an option is good. That
it,
gives us
yeah,
an option
and,
if
and
we
you
needed
can say,
to make changes.
Rather
I
than,
can see that.
You know, well, I guess I'm going to have to resign, and so it'd be helter-skelter whenever you appoint somebody. At least this way it would bring a little more structure to your board, too. You would have that reappointment. Unless somebody had resigned, then they would fill that position until the time that it would be time to
okay.
make that appointment.
Do the
I like that conversation.
Have an option that if they have somebody representing them that they don't think is representing them very well,
uh-huh.
they can reassign them any time.
Yes.
The state code allows for that.
Richmond has done it, so.
Yeah, the state code has that written into it.
That sounds like a good story.
It
wasn't so good.
The vice president and president.
The chair and vice chair.
4-year from it's one to the end of the next.
Yeah, I mean, mine
so
was like three.
So you wouldn't want somebody, it's 2 years of vice president, and then all of a sudden they get reappointed, or not appointed.
Uh-huh, that's a very valid point.
Mm-hmm. So you would just have to have your vice president be at the beginning of that 4-year term, I think. Or ask the councils to reappoint because they're in the process.
That's a good point. Thanks, Mike.
And really, I don't foresee, if they're really truly represented in communities, I don't see a problem with being reappointed.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's good practice just to get the city councils to buy off on it. So you're bringing up a good point. I like that.
So how are we going to handle the politician side of things? Or is it going to be a suggestion? Or are we going to mandate it? Are we going to tell the councils what we're doing?
I do it in my council member report every month that this was coming down the pike, and at our meeting last week, went over this was a proposal, and mm-hmm. it was an equal representation, and the council members, well, thanks for keeping us up to date.
Yeah.
So I think it's something like that. I don't know if the councils need to do any type of resolution or something
they
saying they endorse
yeah,
it.
So
really?
I think there's two issues going on here. So Terry is talking about how the board structure, not the structure, but the individuals are appointed. It would be nice if the entire board said, these are the people we want. I don't know if that's really practical because we have no legislative authority, none. So what has to happen is, for example, there are 4 people from Logan. Todd needs to go over to Logan and say, hey, I've got 9 people, Holly. Who do you want to have on the board now? Same thing with the combined cities. You've got to have those mayors come together and say, I think Mike's bringing up a second issue. Let me clarify if I'm off base here. It is, how do we memorialize the content that we want to have it public appointed individuals and not elected officials? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah. Do you want to suggest that to the councils, or do we want to say,
well, I think that maybe what Todd could do is just memorialize that in his communications, that it's the will of the board that we eliminate politics from it, make it more of a homogenous group that their focus is on the transportation needs of the community at large rather than isolated interests. I don't know if we really need.
Well, I think you can just put a statement in like, we would strongly encourage you to consider appointing a private citizen to the board rather than an elected official.
I think we're going to have it in the bylaws that elected officials won't be appointed, right? Well, that was the question. Do we want to suggest?
So again, we can have the attorney review this, but the state code allows that elected officials can serve, they just can't be chair or vice chair. But I think to what you just suggested, Terry, having language that says we strongly encourage, I think would be something you could do. Because I don't know that you can preclude it, but we can have the attorney verify that.
Ideally, the council, you know, the council should be hearing from the representative at least annually on a report, if not every meeting. You know, some of our board representatives do that are not on the council, but.
And could councils, if they so desire, assign one of their council members to specifically liaise with their board member?
Right.
So it's just kind of.
That's a good point, too.
I mean, every community, every council is going to have a different approach to how they deal with these appointments to other boards that are outside of the city purview, if you will. And, you know, I would hate to see it so detailed that you must fit this little jacket we've designed for you versus we would encourage you to consider doing this, but leave some leeway for each of us, each of the cities to work it out how best fits with them.
I think the way Terry's...
Because Smithfield, Richmond, Lewiston are different than Nibley and Millville.
I think the way Terry's articulated it is probably one of our best plays because we've lost all legislative authority at this point. We've come up with a unanimous structure, and now we have to go to the individual cities asking for mayors to appoint people and city councils to ratify that appointment. And all we can do is strong language from there. We really can't strong arm them into anything. Is that okay with everybody?
So every council, every entity must approve this.
Right.
Is that correct?
So what we did previously was we drafted a resolution that set the, at that time it was service miles that set that, and then we took it to the councils and they ratified it.
And if perchance one doesn't?
So I have actually talked to the attorney about that, and the code's kind of vague. So I think that's why Patrick kind of talked about having unanimous
support. I really don't think you'll see.
So how do we do this going forward? So we are all in agreement with structure at this point. Are we ready to take that to the mayors? And do we say, these are the people that are already on the board, you pick? Is that basically it?
That's the hope, yeah.
They get back with us and say, this is who you want to represent us. And then we change our bylaws, correct? To reflect what we've talked about.
I think
You can write the bylaws now.
And then recommend these
Even
are the current board members and say Hiram and Nibley, the current board members are Paul James and Leigh-Aaron, and we in Hiram and Nibley, and Paul James can't serve.
Congratulations, Leigh-Aaron, you're the first elected board member.
I don't think you'll be an issue.
I agree with you, Paul.
Because it's a small enough group that it's not going to be 24 people trying to vote.
Right.
How is the UTA board constituted?
It's appointed. There's three members.
Three.
Yeah, but they're appointed by the Senate, the House, and the governor.
Yeah, the governor. Right.
From their own ranks? Or?
No,
okay.
They're not elected. They're all appointed. They are full-time positions, but they're all appointed.
This is two, by the way. It's just $50 a month.
That's because there were 19 of us.
Your hourly rate goes down quite a bit.
Well, just a question.
Yes.
So if you were to communicate with communities, with a memo or a letter or whatever, would that indicate to them the reason that the board that's now this big is going to come?
Yes, this memo will be sent to them, and then my assumption is, for example, Hiram and Millville, Todd will get those two mayors together and say, Paul James and Leigh-Aaron are your representatives. Who do you want? Leigh-Aaron's much better looking. Let's go that way.
And I would second that. And I'll even vote
Can you strike that from the notes?
I like that.
Too much levity here. I apologize.
I think that would work. I think when we make this proposal, I think what the cities are going to want is, tell me about your structure. Tell me about the people who are involved in this. And who do you think would do a good job for this? You're going to give them a name, and they're going to go, okay. I think that sounds like it could go, there won't be a ton of debate, there won't be hours done on this, it'll be, all those in favor say aye, aye, and it's done, you move on to the
next.
Well,
we've got to all remember, all of us have been appointed by our mayor already. Mm-hmm. And so,
That's true.
We're going to go with that.
They're reasonable people, believe it or not.
Do you put time constraints on that, and see if we'd like it done, or this action taken on this before, in the September or whatever?
I would say, let me have conversations, and we'll see how it goes. I mean,
I've got to test the waters.
I don't think this, so they're going to get start into
off,
conversations.
Do we want to start off the fiscal year, calendar year?
That would be the hope, it's like a January 1 kickoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Oh, good. I got this extra income. I'm telling you.
Glad you're Chris, Mom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kids are going to have Christmas again.
Rewriting bylaws, is that something that the Policy and Governance Committee does? Or is that something the attorney does? I'm just curious. Who does that?
So does the attorney draft it and then you vote on it?
Okay.
Other conversation? Well, you're all wonderful. That went a lot faster than
great.
I thought.
That is awesome.
So let's go on to 6A, UDOT Signal Priority Project. Todd?
So signal priority is when, for us up here, would be when the bus is running behind schedule. The light would be upfitted to be a smart light. The bus would have smart technology on it in a matter of a second, you know. The bus would cue the light. The light would say, is it on schedule or not? If it's on schedule, then the light just acts like it normally would. If the bus is behind schedule, then the light might either hold green longer to let the bus go through or switch to green quicker to let the bus go through. So this is something we've been working on for quite a few years. And we actually were approached by a company several years ago. And we talked with Logan City because it really makes sense that most of our areas where we would need to do that is in Logan City. And at the time, it probably was just cost prohibitive for the city and for us. But we did, since that time, that's what we did up at USU, just even as a point to test that. But also, if you remember, the crosswalk up at USU was very difficult for the bus, and it was holding up our bus sometimes 5-6 minutes and throwing it behind schedule. So we upfitted that light, put that technology on the buses, and that's worked wonderfully well.
Can the board members get these?
Is it hurt that everyone wants to stay?
They're
going away.
It would look good on a Ford Raptor.
What's that?
Would emergency services also?
Yes,
have
emergency services would be able to have this technology as well. So again, we've been working on this for some time, but it's still pretty costly to upfit all the lights. And so Jody and his staff have made a list of lights that, hey, if we ever get the money, let's do this. And there was an opportunity with UDOT. UDOT is trying to understand technology, and they're trying to come up with a statewide plan of how they deploy technology. And so they came to us and they said, well, this is kind of unique in that you're off the Wasatch Front, you're not UTA, you have a bus system, you have a city, and so we're entering into a partnership with Logan City, UDOT, ourselves, we've identified a bunch of lights within this project. And the great thing is UDOT actually has gone out and successfully procured a grant that would pay for all of this. So they're gonna upfit our buses, they're gonna upfit these lights, and we're hoping to start that October, November of this year. And then they would maintain that for 2 years and then give us that technology, if you will, that hardware.
So would emergency services click into that system?
Correct. So yeah. So that's why they want to test this, is they want to be able to test out with Logan City emergency services.
They already had something.
They do.
They have that flashing light.
It's an old infrared system.
Right.
Which, so infrared is not as good as GPS. So like if a tree limb gets in front of it, it blocks the signal. And so Logan City's excited about this because it would upfit their light to GPS, which is just a more robust technology. So again, we're also excited, and a lot of times when we do projects like this, the technicians end up installing all of this. And so it's just extra work for them, you know, and again, UDOT's paying for all the installation, all of that to be done. So this is actually a pretty significant thing. We're pretty excited. And again, that's a test bed for them off the Wasatch Front, and then they can learn about what they're doing with other things, and it'll be a way to help them plan statewide what they do.
Does the light reset after that to its normal?
Yeah, it may take a cycle or two, but then it eventually gets back on target. And again, it's only if the bus is running behind, so.
So you just follow us.
I was just gonna say, everybody will start following our buses.
We'll put a big sign on there, so follow me, I get green.
Follow me, I have a green light.
Charge more for the back of the bus and the advertising and the wraps.
How about the funding opportunity?
So again, this is early stages, but just something we're always out there trying to find projects like the Signal Eye. We're trying to find funding. It's something that we're anxiously engaged in. So a week or so ago, I was involved in a meeting. If you remember, last year, the governor put $30 million in his budget to have UTA go zero fare for a year and try that. That wasn't supported, and so... this is actually kind of exciting because this isn't UTA leading this. This is the League of Cities and Towns that's really kind of leading this now, and they're bringing several of us on board. So UTA, UDOT's involved, others, and then they've asked me to kind of represent the transit systems outside of UTA. And so the goal here is, we've kind of rebranded this as innovating grant opportunities that would increase ridership. And so, again, it's not just for UTA, and that was one of the things that I had kind of expressed to our legislators is that that's great that you're taking UTA zero fare, we think that's a great thing, but what about those of us that have been zero fare for a long period of time? What are we going to get? And so this new approach, what it would do is set aside $30 million that any transit agency could apply for a grant opportunity and push forward a project that we think would increase ridership. So this is really, again, at the start of this, we haven't come up with criteria or anything like that, but we're in the process of gathering that information, and we'll be submitting that to the team as we move forward. The ultimate goal is, we're one of only a couple states that doesn't have dedicated funding from at the state level to transit. And so the goal of this is that if we get $30 million, how do we transition? Because this would be one-time money for pilot projects. How do we transition that into ongoing funding? And so Curtis, Jody, the team, we've started identifying projects in our long-range plan that we can say, hey, we think these are great projects that would increase ridership. Just as an example, one thing that we've discussed is, you know, maybe you put trolley buses on the loop. So instead of having our regular buses, they look like trolleys, and we've seen this in other communities where that attracts ridership because it's cool. And now it's not just a destination, I want to go have the experience. And there's other things too, working at just increasing frequency on highly used routes. So just want to make you aware of that. As that goes along, we'll keep you informed. But.
Great work.
The buses in the Philippines look like Jeeps, and they're called Jeepneys. Mm-hmm. That's a cash value.
Thank you, Todd. On the board chair report, one of the four strategic objectives we've had over the last couple of years is branding. And so we're just sending out a survey to community members just to test the waters for branding, to get a sense of, while CVTD or Cache Valley Transit District does roll right off the tongue, maybe there is a more eloquent, simple way to convey the value of Cache Valley Transit District, and so we're just testing the waters on that. You may get the survey, I just want you to know what that's all about.
How is it being sent out?
What's
that? How is it available? Just electronically?
Yeah. Okay. So, questions or comments for the board at large? You all did good work tonight, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I have one more, but every year, this time of year, maybe you guys remember it, but I still think need to swing a deal for some free advertisement in exchange for painting a bus candy apple red with flame CVTD.
Okay.
For the Cache Valley Cruise in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They'd probably let us drive up and down the road.
That's a pretty cool idea.
Get a wrap.
I'll
send that to the attorney.
I would want to personally ride that bus, even if it wasn't going back.
Okay, we'll open it up for any final comments.
Try and candy.
Not hearing any, we will stand adjourned.